Joining us now by phone, our friend Larry Weber. Where are you today?
I am at the Bell Museum on the University of Minnesota campus in Minneapolis. I'm attending the MOU, that's Minnesota Ornithological Union paper sessions, where people give presentations on various studies that have been done about birds. It's done every year, and I try to attend as often as every year if I can. Anyway, I got up early this morning to get here, and at my house at 5 o'clock, it was minus 23.
Oh.
Now, that's too great to pass up. Even though I needed to leave to get here, I still managed to get out and get a bit of a walk. And at that temperature, I always have two companions that I look for every time I walk when it's cold like that. Yesterday, my walk was at minus 16, but the two companions are, number one, the crunchy snow. With every step, there's a crunch in the snow. And number two is the crack from the trees in the woods. And they were both out there today. So what an amazing first week of December. Hasn't this been incredible?
Oh,
it's hard to believe when we last spoke, it was still November. So much has happened since then. It is just amazing. This is going to be a hard act to follow for the rest of the weeks of the month. But we ended November as I predicted it was going to be. We were cooler than normal, but we were very far below normal when it came to precipitation. Well, that got quickly turned around in December, and we already have had more precipitation if you convert the snowfall into water content. We've already had more snow precipitation during this first few days than we normally get for the entire month, I mean, considerably more. So we've turned things around very rapidly there. The Weather Service called this three-day snowfall. They called it the sixth greatest on record. Now, the Weather Service statistics go back to the 1870s, but when it comes to snowfall, it only goes back to about 1900. And then that has to be qualified with the fact that the Weather Service used to get its wet records down by the lake, and then they moved the early 1940s up to the airport area to get the Weather Service. So those records have to be a little bit qualified, but still, nevertheless, the sixth in that time is still a pretty good record. The total amount that fell in Duluth was about 2 feet, 23.3 inches. We at my house in Carlton County got a little less, I'm estimating more like 18 inches. But nevertheless, it was something that we would really notice. It is amazing the way it was. The first day, it fell. The temperature was in the upper 20s, near 30 degrees, and not a lot of wind, and it stuck onto the trees and just remained there. The second day, it continued to fall, and we had a little bit of a break, but the wind started to pick up from the east, and so much of the snow did get blown down. And by the third day, Wednesday, when we've got the most snow, then it was rather strong winds from the east. And at the end of all that, then the skies cleared, and we had a rapid drop in temperature. But it was interesting to note how the snow piled up on the trees. At my house, where I have a mixed forest, it's just amazing how the conifers, especially the spruces, are just still coated with that snow. It's almost like somebody glued it on. Mm-hmm. It's just packed tight. The leaves, the branches are bent down all the way to the ground. Meanwhile, the deciduous trees nearby are pretty much devoid of snow, unless they're protected from the wind. The follow-up of a storm like this with the temperature dropping can be difficult on critters. My own feeling is that any critters that live in the North Country are probably pretty well adapted, and they can handle it. But there's always going to be some difficulties. I noticed that the bird feeder the next day after the snow on Thursday morning, the birds had a little problem finding the food that I left out because much of it was covered by snow during the night. I had to go out and do some uncovering. Now, they probably would have found it anyway, but I just wanted to help them a little bit. Like I said, if they're living in the North Country, they can probably take it. Those spruce branches that are bent all the way down to the ground are a good example because they provide hiding places. And out there in the yard were the tracks of the mice and the rabbits that went to those places. And then the snow itself is quite an insulator. At negative 16 yesterday morning, I went out and buried a thermometer under 17 inches of snow. Digging it up about an hour later, I noticed that the temperature was 15 above. That is a change of more than 30 degrees from in just the 17 inches. It is an amazing insulator, and lots of critters take advantage of that. And many of the critters that are out leaving tracks previously before the snowfall and the small amount of snow we had are harder to find their tracks now because they get under the snow. The deer had to struggle. They're still struggling. I haven't had deer coming right up to the house until just the last couple days, and they're struggling. They're looking for things. They will be able to make it in this amount of snow. It's not that hard of walking yet, but if we continue to get it, it gets a little bit more difficult for them, and that's why they tend to yard up a little bit later in the winter. The squirrels moving through the snow looks okay. I found one spot where a squirrel had tunneled down into the snow, most likely going for a cache of its own that was buried there earlier in the season. So I think the critters are going to be making it okay. But one of the ones that amazes me the most is the day after the snow, first thing in the morning, I stepped outside. We had dropped more than 20 degrees, almost 30 degrees. I stepped outside, and the first sound I hear is a raven. They are so amazing. They are so hardy. It seems like no matter what the conditions are, the ravens are still out there. Boy, they have our ability to survive on almost anything. And I think they show it almost every time we have these cold times. A couple other things of note. This is the time of the earliest sunsets. As of today, we have sunset at 4:20. That will continue now for the next week, and then we actually start having sunsets a little bit later. This is the dark month, and it especially gets noticed when we have clouds. But if we have a clear day, this is a spectacular month to get out and see the sky. I think these early mornings, clear and cold, the stargazing is just amazing. Then there's the other side of it. That's the evenings. I find in winter, the evenings, the sunsets tend to linger. The colors show up. They say if you have a good view of a sunset, you can see all the colors of the rainbow as the sun is setting. Well, I had such a view just a couple nights ago on Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock as the sun was setting. And then at the same time, if that wasn't enough of a show, we had a crescent, a waxing crescent of a moon with a bright light nearby being the planet Venus. If that's not enough, we are also approaching one of the better meteor showers of the whole year, which takes place somewhere around the 10th to the 14th of December every year. So it's just great to get out, a lot of it's cold, to get out and take a look at that. And then other things of note, we are having Christmas bird counts starting up soon. 1 week from today is the Duluth Christmas bird count, and then 1 week from tomorrow, the 15th, we'll have our Carlson County Christmas bird counts, and I'm sure up in your area you have Christmas bird counts as well. The purpose of the Christmas bird counts kind of vary, but I find them as being just a good way to see what's around us. And, you know, if you get a bunch of people going out and taking a look, you find out there's a lot more going on here in winter than we might think. So, yes, it's going to be a beautiful month. I get out there and suggest that we have another 2 weeks to go before we actually start winter. But I think Mother Nature has made the move already. So, enjoy.
Thanks, Larry. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Larry Weber is a retired science teacher who's taught students from 7th grade to graduate school. He was twice named Science Teacher of the Year. Lives on his with his wife on an old farm in Carlton County where he watches photographs and writes about critters. Larry joins us every Saturday at 9:30 on North Shore Weekend.